Okay. All right. So if anybody in the congregation needs the information, see one of the deacons, one of the ministers. I'm told that they already have received the information.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Starting with verse 1 through 10, and then we're going to skip to verse 11. Reverend Dr. Price, who is my reader,
good morning, saints. The word of God from the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, beginning at verse 1.
Amen.
To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? In verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end.
Thank you, Reverend Dr. Price.
Amen.
My topic this morning is going to be, we're in our season.
Amen.
We're in our season.
Amen.
And we're going to, excuse me. We're going to talk about this passage here. It says, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. So when you think about that, you know, God has already made it plain to us that some things may shift, some things may change, but he's letting us know that all of that there is, thank you, to all of that there is a purpose for this process that we're going through that we call life. He says a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, when we look at this, you know that we are born and you already know that we have a date set aside. We don't know what it is, but God does.
Yes, he does.
That we're going to leave this place. So while we're here on this side, we have to make it our business to do what God has set us aside to do.
Yes, Lord.
You know, so many times we say, well, I don't know what God will have me to do. But what we have to learn to do, God is willing and he's able to answer any of our questions. So if you have questions, take them to God.
Yes.
Take them to God and God will answer your question as to what it is that you should do. You know, some people are called to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Some people are called to the choir in the house of the Lord. There are many areas in the church that you can find yourself busy and find yourself working out your soul salvation for the Lord.
Amen.
But God wants everything that we do to be done decent and in order. He wants it to be done with love, with patience, and with peace with one another. We have to learn how to walk this walk the way God has asked us to do. And sometimes we do have to pull up some things out of our lives, that things that were rooted in us. You know, even from a child, you were taught certain things that you thought you heard all your life that it was correct. And one day you heard it taught the correct way. So sometimes you have to get to the point where you're able to dismiss that stuff that you heard when you were growing up, because now you're hearing the truth, and refrain from that old way and start walking in that new way, listening to the truth, because now you have the ear to hear what thus says the Lord, and then you have understanding. And once you have understanding, then you want to get rid of that old stuff. You want to get rid of that old stuff, and you want to what? Plant something new. You want to set something new in place. He said, a time to kill and a time to heal.
Yeah.
A time to break down and a time to build up. Now, what he's talking about when he's talking about killing, sometimes we have to kill that old man that's within us.
Amen.
You know, that old thought process, the old way we did things, we got to kill that. We got to let it go by the wayside. And what he's telling us, when we do that, then the healing begins.
Yes.
That once we begin to start to heal, then we're able to love people like God say love them. We're able to forgive people the way God say forgive them. Why? Because it's not us. It's that God that's within us. And God is working with us through this process, and he's rebuilding us.
Yes.
And this is what he's talking about when he says a time to build up. You know, sometimes you got to tear some stuff down, but on the other hand, you got to turn around and build some stuff up, you know. Now, when we do that, we have to do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because our thought process is not God's thought process.
Amen.
We may think of something that sounds good, it looks good, but is it pleasing to God? And when you think about it and you go to God, you realize God is not pleased with this. So we have to make sure that we include the right things. He said a time to weep and a time to laugh. Now, you know, this weeping comes in when we lose loved ones.
Amen.
You know, we lose loved ones in our lives, and we don't know what else to do but to cry. We're sorrowful, we're hurting, we're in pain. But let me say this to you. Once we realize that loved one of ours is saved, there's nothing to cry about. That's a time to be joyous, to, what do you say, to laugh, for laughter. Be happy that that person that you loved was saved. Be happy that that person that you loved had a relationship with God. Why? Because now that person is headed where? He's headed to heaven.
Yeah.
That's what we all striving to be. Why do I have to be sad about that? I need to rejoice that that person is in heaven. Will I miss him? Yes, I will. But let me tell you what God will do. God will give you that peace, even in that person's absence. He will give you that peace to let you know everything is going to be all right. And we have to learn how to flip the script and stop letting the world dictate to us that we're supposed to be sad. No, we're supposed to be joyous. We're supposed to rejoice, because that's a soul that's gone on to be with who? With the Lord. And I know I'm going to be shouting all over the place when my time comes to be with the Lord. I'm going to rejoice. So I've already told him, I don't want no funeral. Give me a party. He says, verse 4 says, a time to, well, we did that, we found time to weep. And then it talks about a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, why is it so hard that when we're in the house of the Lord, and we're praising the Lord, and we're doing hallelujahs and all this, but we would never stand to our feet and say, praise the Lord. We would never dance around in circles like David did, saying, praise the Lord. God is telling us nothing wrong with that, that he enjoys our praise, however we give him the praise. But the praise has to be unique. It has to be real. It has to be to God, for God's glory. Not for my glory, not me shaking around or bouncing around so that I can be seen, but that I'm praising God for his glory. I'm letting him know that I'm so happy that you're in my life. I'm so happy that you chose me. I'm so happy that you died on the cross for me. We have to know what we're rejoicing in, what we're rejoicing in, and dance for the right reason. And then verse 5 says, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to
embrace.
Thank you, because my sight is going to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Mm-hmm. So what God is letting us know, there is a time for everything. You know, we need to learn how to come together. But when we come together, it's got to be for the right reason. You know, God don't want us just to come together just to sit and eat. You know, he wants us to come together so we can fellowship with one another, that we can learn from one another, that we can draw strength from one another. But it seems like church folks now, the only time they want to come together is to party and to eat. That's not what God intended. He wanted us to come together to worship him, to come together to praise him, to come together to get to know somebody else with a like mind, so that when you're weak, they may be strong. And through their strength, you can be made strong. Because everybody is going through something. You're not going through what you're going through by yourself. All of us are going through something. And if you have somebody that God has placed in your path to help you through that process, don't you know that's a great blessing?
Yeah.
Sometimes just to have somebody to talk to tell them all about your cares and all about your burdens, they can help lift you up and say, you know what? I know what you're talking about because I've been there.
Amen.
And trouble is not going to last always.
Amen.
This is just a temporary thing. Amen. Wouldn't you much rather hear that than somebody saying, oh, I don't know. You're going to be going through this forever.
Yeah.
So we have to know who to surround ourselves with and around, because it makes a difference. I remember when I was growing up, they used to have missionary sisters that would go from house to house. And they would have their little tea cakes and their little tea and this and that. But their main thing that they did was talking about the Lord. They went through those scriptures. They read those scriptures together. And through that process, they became what? Stronger. Stronger in the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do when we come together. And then he says, verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Now, when you look at this particular scripture here, that reminds me of somebody close to me. It says a time to get and a time to lose. Sometimes you're going to get something and sometimes you're going to lose something. But does it mean that God loves you any less? No, it doesn't. It just means this is a season for you. This is a process that you're going through. And God says those that he loves, he will chasten. And sometimes chasten means chastise, correct. Sometimes God will do that. He will send you through a process where he's correcting you. And as he's correcting you, guess what's happening?
Yeah.
He's shaping you into what he would have you to be.
Yeah.
So don't look at it as a disaster because you lost something. Because the thing that I have found, if God takes it away, he can also replace it again.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that we must keep things in its right perspective.
Yeah.
Right perspective. This is just stuff that we have. Don't fall in love with your car. Don't fall in love with your job. Don't fall in love with that, because all that is just stuff. Just like you got it today, you could lose it tomorrow. And guess what? It don't have to be anything on your fault, the reason you lost that job. But we have to know that God is in control over all things at all times. And we have to learn how to give everything to him, because he is the one that can work it out for our good. Then that's why we must understand that we must always keep God what? First. Because when we keep him first, the word of God that I read says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So that's letting me know, if I put God first, he don't gave me a promise. And I'm going to walk and live by his promises. Because I know my God that I serve is not a liar. And then he says in verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. Now, what is this love and hate? Sometimes in your life, there's some stuff that you're doing that you really hate. You really hate you doing it. But for whatever reason, I just can't stop doing it. I just can't stop doing that thing. I don't want to do this thing. Isn't that what Paul said?
Yeah.
I don't want to do it, but every time I turn around, it looks like I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So we have to get to the point that we hate it so much until we want it totally out of our sight.
When you begin
to hate it that much and you want it totally out of your sight, then what begins to happen is that your life begins to revolve.
Yeah.
You begin to change. Yeah. You begin to look for new ways and new things.
Yeah.
And then when it talks about this love portion of us, it's time to love. God say He is love. So that means we should always be loving somebody.
We should always show
love. We should always show people the God that's within us. Because God is love, and if He's love and He's living within us, then that love should be oozing out of us. We shouldn't have to pull it out because you're a stranger. I don't know you, so I'm not going to love you. I don't know you, so I'm not going to help you. That is not what God said. He said to help one another, to love one another, to be there for one another. And when we start doing that, our lives are going to be made better.
Amen.
And then verse, it says, our war and
a time of peace.
In our lives, we do have battles. We're always in a warfare. When you said yes to the Lord, the war began. When you said, Lord, send me, the war began. And we're going to be battling and struggling in this war until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
The thing of it is, are we equipped for the war? Are we equipping ourselves so when Jesus comes back that we're ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are we equipping ourselves to stand on the battlefield? Are we equipping ourselves to stand in place for somebody else? Are we equipping ourselves? Now, how do we equip ourselves? We equip ourselves by going into the Word of God, by studying what God has told us to do, by putting on the whole armor of God. And when we begin to do that and put on that whole armor of God, God will protect us from what? The fiery darts.
He will protect us
from the things of life that's coming our way. He didn't say that they were not going to come. He never told us that. But what He said was that He would not leave or forsake us. So what does that mean? That means is that He's going to be in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Even though we're going through and we think we're going through by ourselves, we're not. Because God is in the what? He's in the midst of it. And then it says peace. Now, I love that part about that peace, a time of peace. Because peace can only be given to us from God.
Amen.
The world can't give us no peace. Why? Because the world don't know peace. But God knows peace. And when He gives you that peace that you need, then you're going to be all right.
Amen.
When you're going through a situation and all of a sudden it looks like I can see the end of the tunnel. I can see the light down there. Then your heart begin to be joyful. It begin to be peaceful because you know what you're going through in that storm is almost over. It's almost over because God never left you. It's almost over because He's right there by your side. It's almost over because He's steady talking to you and lead, guiding, and directing you. Why? Because you're not leaning to your own understanding. You're allowing God to lead, guide, and direct you in the way that He would have you to go.
Amen. Amen.
And then verse 9 says, what profit has he that worketh and worketh that wherein he labors. So we need to know that we have to do something. Not just nothing. We have to work. We have to work for God. Will laboring and work save us? No. But what it will do, it will help to keep us on the right path if we're doing the right work. See, sometimes we'll get out there and start doing work that's meant for somebody else. And we're going to try to present it to God. And God is saying, no, I didn't ask you to do that. And we think we're helping. But we're not helping because guess what? We're not in our lane. We're not where God wants us to be. We over here trying to fill Freddie's lane. I can't fill Freddie's lane. Freddie can't fill my lane. Because what God gave for you to do is for you. And what He gave for me to do is for me. So stop letting people tell you that it's okay to sit on the sideline. Stop letting people tell you it's okay, just show up to church. Pay your tithes. It's okay. It's not okay. God has a work for all of us to do. And the work that he has for us to do is that none be lost. Now, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is that our job is to tell somebody else, once we have come into the knowledge of Christ, to tell somebody else about who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
And when we introduce those people to who Jesus Christ is, then they will have an opportunity to be what? To be saved, just like you. Mm-hmm. Who want to go to heaven by themselves? So we need to work the work that God has set aside.
Amen.
And verse 11 says this, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Uh-huh. Also, he has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the works that God makes from the beginning to the end.
Amen.
So this is telling me here that I don't care how hard I try, I'm not going to ever know everything about God.
Yeah.
But it does not mean that I can't continue to strive to know as much as I can. You see what I'm saying? We can't get to the point where we're complacent and we don't want to learn, we don't want to grow anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are not of God. The people of God are always seeking. He said seek.
Yeah.
We're always seeking. We always want to know more about him. We have a thirst. We have a hunger for him. We always have our scriptures open, trying to read and understand. And the more you do that, the more God will open up your understanding to who he is. And when he does that, then you now have a what? A personal relationship with God, because now you have a better eyesight and vision on who God is and what God wants for you to do with your life. And when we begin to operate in that manner, then we are closer to God. And we begin to look like who? We begin to look like Jesus, his son. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be imitators, he said, of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So when we become imitators of Jesus Christ, don't nobody have to tell you what to say to somebody. When you meet somebody on the street and they say they're hungry or they don't have a place to stay, don't nobody have to prompt you what to do.
Yeah.
You're going to already know what to do because God is living within you.
Yeah.
And God wants you to act out what it is that he has been teaching you to do all this time.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that God is a good God. And he will make a way for us out of no way.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that he walked among us.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that he taught us.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that he went to the cross.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that they buried him in a borrowed tomb.
Yeah.
But the most important thing that I'm grateful for, that he didn't stay there, that he got up out of that grave. And you know what? When I think about how when Jesus got up out of that grave, he got up for me. He got up in my life. That is a personal thing for me.
Yeah.
Jesus got up for me to make my life brand new.
Yeah.
What about you? Did Jesus get up for you? Did he make your life brand new? Is he changing anything for you? Are you just going through the motions?
Yeah.
And we got to be careful because we can easily get complacent and go through the motions and forget what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Amen.
God is a good God,
yes,
and
he
will make a way for us out of no way. But we must trust him with our whole heart.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
At this time, we're going to open the doors of the church.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."